You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, once again, we're getting it confirmed how cold it can be here in Oklahoma. And even out there in California, too, they're starting to get snowstorms and stuff. It's quite unusual weather. And it reminds me of my time up in Minnesota, the cold there. Very cold. And man, they didn't stop. They were pretty hardy people when it came to the cold. The same in Wisconsin. And they hardly ever would call off school. You know, we're talking about a blizzard. I mean, a real blizzard. I don't know whether you've gone through a serious blizzard up north, but they can be really harsh. But no, I can remember many times we had blizzards, and no, they would not cancel school. No. Off we go in blizzard. And the school buses would pull up, you know, and the wind would be howling, and the snow drifts going everywhere, and, oh, man, it was unbelievable. No, we're not stopping. Off we go. We got the gear. They had people out in the mornings. I guess there were a lot of families that made their money out of clearing roads. And no, not far from where I was living, there was a family there. That was their business, clearing roads. Up early, early in the morning. Off they'd go and clean the roads off. And amazing. Great hardiness. So I think about the American nation as it began with its great inventions and all the tremendous ability that was shown, encouraged in schools and in private dwellings to produce new items, new inventions. And then they would hold these great big meetings in Chicago, for example, and they'd bring in all their inventions that just individuals came up with, and all the great things that were done, great energy here in America, of which the world has benefited. I mean, look at the influence around the world of all the inventions that have come forward from America. Wouldn't it be great to see that kind of energy kindled again? I believe it could be, you know, I believe it could be. And that would be a great thing to see. You know, the thing about it is you need leadership. You just need leadership. And I think you'll see a lot of people will come behind it. A lot of people would. We just need that. We need to keep the nation in prayer. Well, let us pray. Oh, God and Father, we thank Thee again for another great opportunity, Lord, to open up the Scriptures. And we thank Thee for its preservation. And, Lord, for this tremendous truth of right division, we pray for the ministry online, that many people will come to see this great revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, law and grace. Oh, man, have I really enjoyed this study. And as I get further into it, I can see various things that feed into understanding the Bible. I was talking to Shirley about, you know, the sort of things we do here in the fellowship. And we're basically together on, you know, where we're at in the Scriptures. Not precisely. We are all in different places if we were to analyze it. But we are together in the sense that we want meat. We don't want to have a shallow meal. But the trouble is, when we get new people coming into a fellowship like this, it's very likely what they need is a little bit of, you know, lesser meat. And the ABCs, that's what they need. So I think, you know, in looking forward and trying to plan for the future, we need to take this kind of thing into consideration. But in the meantime, we want a nice chunk of, Texas Roadhouse or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Nice chunk of meat, that's what we want. And man, I can see that there are doctrines in here, specifically the doctrine of the remnant, because the remnant and the law of Christ become something very, very important. So this passage here, which is quite a significant one, as you see it here, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This was stated by the Apostle Paul during the time of the Acts, when Jew was first. And so here you get mentioned the law of Christ. Now, is the law of Christ the same as the law of Moses? No, it's not. It's not the same thing. The law of Christ, the law of Messiah, comes about where the matters of the heart are taken to the extreme, where he addresses the essential morality, those things that are not seen but are eternal, and those things that relate to the matter of the deepness and the soft heart. Now, the question is, though, how does this relate to the nation of Israel? Well, you see that soft heart comes in through the terms of the New Covenant. The New Covenant. So the law of Christ for the Jew during this time is seen embodied in promises given to them concerning the New Covenant. The New Covenant. But what about us? What about us today? Well, Israel was chopped. Man, there were some terrible things that went on during the book of Acts of unbelief. And crunch, a branch came off the olive tree. And then Paul would go to another synagogue. And crunch, another branch came off. Until finally, there was a problem with the tree. And God then got the axe and put it to this nice tree. But as Isaiah says, it shall sprout again and grow. It shall come again. And that's something to ponder concerning the law of Christ. What about us, though? The law of Christ, how does it measure up? Well, we've talked about this, so I'm just going to move on a little bit to where we're at today rather than rehearse the same message again. But this has to do with Messiah. The fact is that when you look at Paul's message to us in this age, he talks about our Lord Jesus the Christ. And in that sense, you'll find Paul saying the same thing. The same expression comes up during the book of Acts as it does after Acts. So the law of Messiah is coming to us through his apostles, and specifically to us in this age through Paul the prisoner. And why is this so? It makes perfect sense, because God is not going to break his law. Right? What is sin? It's transgression of the law. Yeah, okay. So if there has been a change in the law, in the sense that there has been a new priesthood put in place after the order of Melchizedek. It says right there in the scriptures, a change of the law. Then he can lawfully give us new instructions for us to obey outside of the law of Moses. Now those Jews in the book of Acts, of course, they were law obedient, law of Moses obedient. And they had to learn about the law of Christ. They had to then reinterpret many of the things that they did. They had to see the weightier matters of the law. That was a job. But you can see that this is a very important message, because to us you see imperatives of the law coming to us through Christ, the Messiah. Christ Jesus. Lots of places where you'll find this. Now today what I want to do is, I want to relook at this slide that I sort of ran past a bit. So this slide here, it encapsulates some of the ideas that you find in the scriptures. Like over here in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew 23, you have statements in here which show that the law of Moses, not gone. No. Not gone. Enforced, correct, right, righteous, right there. In fact, have a look at this with me in Matthew chapter 10. This is Matthew 10. And we'll read here we can read a lot, but verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. We understand 12, man. I mean, there's no doubt about the scriptures, man. It's right there in terms of numbers, isn't it? 12. 12 tribes of Israel. Why were there 12 disciples? Because there were to be 12 tribes. there's 12 thrones. They were to sit on, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Look what it says. And gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. This was a commission that was given to those 12. They were empowered. And I'm sorry to say this, friends, that you are not empowered. I am not empowered. I wish I was, man. I wish I was. Believe me. And I could use that power on some of you. Right? Wouldn't it be great? Just walk into a hospital, man. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. You're out of here. You know, someone there's on their deathbed. They're ready to take down their last breath. And you walk into that room in the name of Jesus, you're healed, get up, walk out of here. And they get up and walk out of there. That would just be absolutely amazing, wouldn't it? Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. And Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. I mean, these people that are mentioned here, they're of all kinds of backgrounds. These people are fishermen. These people have various backgrounds, various, you know, educational backgrounds, whatever. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican. Look at this, Matthew the publican. Oh man, this guy would not be too popular. James, the son of Alphaeus and Lebaeus, whose name was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Aha! Uh-huh. But then we must believe that Judas Iscariot was also given these abilities. Right? That's pretty interesting, don't you think? These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. This is law. Don't do this. You see, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you've got yourself a mess. A mess. So what I've got here in black here shows you that the context, the oikonomia, the economy of that time, is very different. Because when we read later on, for example, in the book of Romans and Galatians, suddenly there's Gentiles everywhere, and Paul is addressing them. Something changed. Carrying on reading here, look what it says. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. These are commands. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's the message you're supposed to take. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close by. It's close by. That's the message you're going to take. Is this the message we take? No, it's not the message we take. We don't take this message. We don't come with these powers. You say, but wait, your disciples are... Yeah, see, this is the problem that you've got. When you start to turn black into gray and white into gray, then what you've got is non-context. You're not worried about what's really happening in the context of the scriptures. You're just trying to spiritualize things, and you'll get yourself into a whole lot of trouble. Heal the sick, verse 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cleanse them. Now, the lepers were to be separated. If someone had leprosy, you keep well away, man. In fact, it was the responsibility of the lepers to say, unclean, unclean. That's their responsibility to tell you not to come close to them. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Oh, I didn't make it to the hospital. He died. She died. Okay. No problem. Where'd you bury him? Can you dig that, friends? Raise the dead. You either believe this or you don't. I don't know.
I don't know what people are going to do with these passages. They try and tell me there's no such thing as right division. You're making this up, man. You're making this up. Look what it says here. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Boy, you got a lot of work to do in the Biden administration then. Man, you got yourself a full-time job. Just casting out devils there. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. Hey, you haven't got any money? No sweat. No sweat. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays. Look at this. Look at this statement. For the workman, you're working for me now. You're working for me. The workman is worthy of his meat. What? It's going to happen. Any need you have is going to be provided. Literally, man. Shoes don't even wear out. The shoes don't wear out, man. Now, shoes used to last a while. When I was a kid, I used to buy these leather-soled shoes. And, man, that just lasts. Now, they'd last as long as my feet would fit them. In those days, you know, quickly I'd run out of shoes because my feet were getting too big. But they would last. These days, what? A couple of months, and they're gonzo. Okay. It says this in verse 11, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Man, those cities are going to be held responsible for how they treat these disciples. When they come, man, they're coming in the power of God. And if they reject it, okay, he's going to just push the dust off the feet. But in the day of judgment, man, there's going to be recompense. That's the program. That's pretty different. That's over here in Matthew. Don't go to the Gentiles, man. But when you go, you're going with all these powers. Then, later on, you get all these tremendous passages which relate to the Gentiles. You know? Yeah, and what they're doing is they're graft into the olive of Israel to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. There's the law of Christ. Messiah now is giving them law in a context in relationship to Israel. And then after that, what happens? Well, when you get to the book of Ephesians, for example, you go to the book of Ephesians, what do you have here? It says this. In verse 10, it says, He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. This is 4:11. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice the fullness of Messiah. Here you have apostles and prophets. But this is very different to what you find in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Very, very different situation, because back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what was going on there? Well, there were spiritual gifts, signs and wonders and tongues and everything else. All these gifts were appropriate. Why? Because Israel was still present. Then later on, the mystery is revealed, and now the emphasis is on something quite different. Right? There's this perfection that's supposed to go on with the education of people concerning the revelation of the mystery. Very important thing. Well, we know this, all right? So in here we see this. So the mystery is revealed. All right, but what's happening here is during this time, there are people who, yes, they're saved. They know Jesus as their Savior, but they do not know the mystery. What about those? Well, there's people who are of the other sheep. Them they must also be brought, says John. And that will happen. Now, I want to show you something else here. This is a picture of how common this word remnant is used throughout the scriptures. And the green is just from the New Testament, the red the Old Testament. And you can see that, yes, it's a very common word, but it's a word that has all sorts of context, you know, like the remnant of the oil, the remnant of the sacrifice, the remnant of water, whatever remains, right? What is left over. That's that context. But then you get it in another context, which is the remnant and Israel. Israel. And then you find that we've got less passages, but they are really interesting passages. And I would like to go through this in some detail, but what I want to do now is I just want to take you across to the book of Romans. We'll go right across to the last passage there, which is Romans chapter 9. And it says this. This is Romans chapter 9 and verse 27. It says this. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel. This is Romans 9, 27. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And so what you get is this kind of interesting thing here going on, that you have Israel, right? That's commonly given, Israel. But then there is a remnant. Israel might be the sand of the sea, but a remnant is a smaller section. Remnant. Okay, so there's Israel. So what you have is you have Israel, and then you have the Israel of God, right? The Israel of God. Those who will accept Messiah and His law. Okay, because after all, it's not just simply a head thing. Oh, I believe in Messiah, and then you're just going to say, oh, yeah, but I don't care about his law. No, these people are people who say yes to Messiah. They have faith in Messiah, and then they work that faith out in various deeds, etc. There is a massive doctrine in the Bible about the remnant of Israel. It's massive. It's really there, and I think I'm going to, after this series is over, I think we're going to backtrack and we're going to look at the remnant. It's fantastic. Now, if you look at Romans 11, we won't read this here. Let's go to Romans 11 and verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? So this we know about, right? So over here we've got the cross work. Over here is when the Spirit was given. Acts 9 is where Paul is brought forward and he's saved and he's commissioned. And then over here you've got Acts 28. And then right near the end, somewhere here, is Romans. Right near the end. And it finds its place in the book of Acts. It's in the Acts epistle. Verse 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Yeah, it's cast away, it's gone, so it's not there now. No! Look at the expression. God forbid, megenoito, may it not be so. It's the strongest. It's this wish that comes from the optative. May it not be so, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. That little tribe of Benjamin. God, in case you haven't got it yet, you know, just in case, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias?
This is Elijah.
Now this is very significant, because this Elijah is found in the books of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, see, it, one of the things you got to understand about Elijah is that he had a complaint. He had a complaint. How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. So he was obedient, and he's complaining against Israel, their action against the prophets. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So let's get this straight. Elijah is complaining, saying, Israel is gone, man. It's gone. And God's answer is, uh-uh. No, 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 no. It's not gone. I have reserved 7,000 who have not bowed to the image of Baal. Now, if you go back to the Kings, I'll come back to this passage. I know you can't read all this. But those who get the slide, you can then take a closer look at this. But the Kings, it is a disaster, man. You know, when you think about Israel, Israel just absolutely has a disaster history in many respects. Just the things that it did, man. The terrible things. You know, like even starting off in 1 Kings with, you know, David's last days, you know. And, well, I won't go through the details of it. You can read 1 Kings chapter number 1. You'll read in there some pretty unusual stuff, which could be misinterpreted about this young girl, etc. You know, because he's getting old, he's getting cold, so they bring to him a young girl to warm him up. Now, you know, that if that's put into a different context by people who want to bring down the scriptures, believe you me, they will. It says in there was nothing going on. But going on here, it says, okay, in chapter 1, David is giving instruction to Solomon about what to do, how to handle the kingdom. But right in there, David even tells him, yeah, and all my enemies, do them. Get them. Kill them. Right? Make sure you do that. And then Solomon's reign, he starts off with this great desire for wisdom, but what does he end up? He ends up with all these women around him because he's trying to appease all these other people. And he knows that he can get an inside relationship with all these other nations if he takes one of the daughters of their kings, you see? And he gets all these women around him. And then what happens, of course, things go south, as it were, real bad, with other gods being brought in. Masses of them. And then finally under Jeroboam, there's this great split. You know, a lot of stuff goes on here. You can see some parallels with the United States in terms of the war between the states. And then after that, there is this Elijah. The prophet Elijah comes in with the still small voice. And this still small voice, it relates to the remnant. And this is what we'll come to when we do our study on the remnant, which this is really cool. This is cool. I promise you, this is a really cool thing to see. But you'll notice if you keep on reading through the Kings, what you find is that there is even, right near the end, sacrifice being made to these gods of their little children. This is the nation of Israel, given all these beautiful things under God, and they end up worshipping Baal. And they sacrifice their children to these gods. It's unbelievable, really, you know, the extent of the depravity that goes on.
Now, just go back over here. Let's just go back. Okay, so you can see in here where Elijah comes in. Elijah comes in here at a very special time. And it says this in verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? Yes, that's right, verse 4, 11, 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So you can't mix the two. It's either by work or it's by grace. And obviously it's by grace. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So here, this remnant is also called this election. This election by grace. This remnant is here. The Israel of God is there. Verse 5, even so at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So, God had not cast away his people. There was this remnant that was there, and that means the providence of God and his providence and all of these other things that relate to God saying, yeah, this is what I'm doing, this is what... They are fulfilled in this remnant. Let me show you something else. Go across to 1 Peter, and we'll probably do this when we hit the remnant. And this is 1 Peter chapter 2. Now this is an interesting epistle because it's written to the Jews of the dispersion, the diaspora, the Jews which are scattered. And he says this in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, the law of Christ, see, coming in here. The law of Christ being now explained to these Jews. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Now under the priesthood of Melchizedek, to offer up spiritual, look, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus the Christ, by Jesus the Messiah. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You see, the cornerstone was put aside, and as the building was constructed, they'd say, well, wait a minute, there's a stone missing. It's the chief cornerstone. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders, here it comes, disallowed, okay, they didn't allow this chief cornerstone, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Okay, showing you the distinction between those that were the remnant and those that would not believe. Now look what he says here. This is the part that I want you to see. For a long time, I didn't really get this, but now I think I've got it. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. See, this is all to do with the law of Christ. An holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Now here comes that verse 9 and verse 10. Look at this. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. So, in times past, Yeah, they were just in Israel. They were in Israel. And now they have become the Israel of God by faith in the Christ. And time passed. They weren't. But now they are. This is part of the interesting usage of prophetical scripture. So what am I coming to? What is the big lesson I'm trying to bring you to? Okay. The law of Christ. It has a manifestation to Israel under the terms of the new covenant. The law of Christ comes to us through Paul the prisoner. And here he explains the law of Christ to our calling, to where we are going, to everything that pertains to our age. But it's still Christ. It's still the Messiah and his law, which goes past the intricacies of the law of Moses and all these threads and things you can't and things you can. It goes way past that, to the heart. But to the heart, of course, in terms of how we are to live today, without Israel being present, right? Because today Israel has been cast aside. And that's the distinction. Well, I got a little bit more to do on this. So when we gather next time, perhaps I'll bring this to a conclusion. I'll give a summary. And then I hope to begin a new series, which will be on the remnant. The remnant. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time and for all that we've learnt in the Scriptures. And we ask that You'd be with us as we go through our lives. We pray for our families, Lord, our children, Lord, wherever they be, that You'd be with them and strengthen them, and that they'll be faithful to the Scriptures and run the race ahead of them. And we pray for the nation, Lord, that You'd reach down and raise up good leaders and let us support them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.